Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the
me leave them.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord God. There's none like you, Lord, in all the earth. And we thank you as we come before your presence tonight. We thank you for the spirit of thanksgiving as we come to you, Lord God, with our hearts open. And we thank you, Lord God, for your presence tonight as we come in. Lord, move. Move even as we allow you, Lord God, to have your way. Free course. Jesus, we thank you for our heart and our mind, our spirit, soul, everything lined up with you, Lord God. For you, your will to be done. Lord God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. So, Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We magnify, we exalt your name, Lord God, forever. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place tonight. Minister to our hearts, Lord God. We thank you as we come to hear a word from you, Lord God. We come aligned according to your word, and we come in spirit and truth. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We embrace your presence tonight. Lord, minister to our hearts, Lord God. You know what we are tonight. You know what we stand for. And we thank you, Lord God, for the manifestation of presence tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Do what you desire to do, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord God. We're hungry tonight. Feed us your word, Lord God. Thank you for calling, Lord God. We call those things to be on the Lord through the word. We thank you right now for your presence, Lord God. Overflow your presence tonight on this line. Touch every heart, Lord, every situation. Change, turn. May it, Lord, eradicate everything that's not like you, Lord God, and change it for the good in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for the shaking and breaking, and shall go forth in Jesus' name. Do what you desire to do, Lord God. We come ready for you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now for the manifestation to change tonight. Thank you for releasing your glory and your power, Lord God, that we should experience you like never before. In Jesus' name, do what you desire to do, Lord God, to break every shackle, crush, Lord, every weight that's so easy to beset us, Lord God. We cast away everything, Lord God, that's not like you, Lord God. Every sin away that's so easily beset us, we release now in Jesus' name. And so we thank you for the authority of Christ tonight, Lord God, as we speak, Lord God. We thank you that we shall move, and you, Lord God, we should have and walk in your presence, Lord God. And we thank you right now for you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Do what you desire to do. You send your word, and you, we live, we move, and we have our being. And we thank you right now for the flow of the Spirit tonight, Lord God. Let your Spirit flow. Let your Spirit release. Let your Spirit dominate every situation that's not like you, Lord God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and end. Lord, you are everything that we need and more. So, Lord God, do what you have to do. And we thank you tonight as we're open to receive, Lord God. Minister to our hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for leading us on the straight and narrow, Lord God, on the straight path, the path we call straight. Thank you for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you all the praise, honor, glory. Thank you, Lord God, for the apostolic authority as we are here in your presence right now. Lord God, do what you desire to do in the way you desire to do it. And we thank you, Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase, decrease now. As we decrease now, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God for each and every one that's on the line tonight, and welcome the Eagles of Flight Hour. I'm a part of Boston Marcus Dupree, and Prophet Selene Dupree, and we thank God for what he's about to do in this hour, this time. Amen. As we continue our talk and ministry on deliverance, I mean, not deliverance, but spiritual warfare, excuse me. Amen. But also we want to be getting into some deliverance. Amen. And but we still dealing with spiritual warfare right now as we continue to go in. We would ask you to turn with us with the inner Bibles. And if you have if there's anyone that, you know, will desire to call in and have any questions, comes with the prayer. The number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. To speak. Amen. So we thank God for an awesome week. Amen. We thank God for his presence that's here right now and all he's doing within us. So we will actually turn with us to Acts chapter 3 and also Acts chapter 16. But we're going to start chapter 3 first. Start verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping and stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that what had happened unto him. As the lame man which was healed by Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Simon's, greatly wondering. Amen. All right, let's go to 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her, came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them into the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid their stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep silent, keep them safe, who have received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awake out of his sleep, and seeing the doors were open, and drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And they called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. Glory to God. We're talking about spiritual warfare, but if I was given a little topic tonight, prayer that changes things. Prayer that changes things. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer that changes things. Amen. Okay, the thing that these two sister passages have in common, that they both happened in the time of prayer. Prayer is essential for our spiritual growth. It's essential for change. It's essential for beginnings. It's essential even for transitioning. Whatever we need, it begins in the spirit first. Begins by prayer. Any work of God, any powerful move of God, began in prayer. The day before Pentecost, just before Pentecost came forth, they were in the upper room praying, and they ushered in from the presence of God. There, ushered in the spirit of God into the service when they all came, and over 3,000 came to the church. As we can see here, these opportunities that God, when He showed up, it was at the time of prayer. In these times that we're in today, this is a time for prayer. This is an opportunity. I ministered a few days ago about the word crisis. You know, in the Chinese, what it means, the definition of the Chinese. In the Chinese definition, the word crisis means great danger, but also great opportunity. Yes, right now, if we look at society, look at the times we're in, we see things of great danger. We see things going crazy, going to the left, stuff that don't make any sense. But it is also, yes, we're in a crisis situation, but it's also a great opportunity for God to show Himself strong. See, we have to understand, people say, I want a miracle, I want a miracle. But do you realize that it takes a really bad situation for a miracle to come forth? It means that it's something only God can do. Well, how many of you think you got control of your own life? Well, if you got control, then you don't need a miracle. Because if you got it, you got it. But when you talk about having a true miracle, it's a situation that no one else, your mind, your degrees, your personality, nothing you can do can help the situation. It takes only a move from God that in order for that situation to change. That is a miracle. So when we understand the times that we're in right now, some things look really bad, look really rough, and to where, how can we get the church or get the body to where it needs to be right now? It's going to take a miracle from God. It's going to take a move of God. It's going to take, but then it also takes prayer. It's going to take people being obedient. It's going to take people doing their part. As God leads you, see, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So as the Lord is leading our steps, we have to be willing to go where we need to go. So, amen. So as we continue to flow in His Spirit, amen, we need to be led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. This is the time, the hour that the sons of God must take their place. This is the time that we must come into alignment and agreement with God and His Word and allow mm-hmm. His Word to take place in our life. We have to choose and make a conscious decision to say, yes, Lord, Your way, not my own. Amen. It's the time to die in order for others to live. It's the time to deny yourself in order for us to go forth. Glory to God. So as we see the manifestation of God's presence in our life, we encounter His presence by our daily activities or whatever it is that we do, but it all goes back to prayer. Everything begins with prayer. See, your personal time in prayer, your corporate time in prayer. Amen. As we look at Azusa Street, before preceding that, it was prayer. You know, we must understand that it's going to take prayer to change things. And prayer has the opportunity, has the ability to pray to change any situation that we're dealing with. Amen. Even as the church today and society was going on, it's going to take consistent prayer. But we first got to begin to pray. When we pray, we get God involved. We invite Him in, divinely invite Him in so He can come in and do what He do best. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as we see both of these passages, amen, they're both at the time of prayer. Let's look at chapter 3 first. Let's go back there. Hallelujah. So, as we see on Acts chapter 3, see John, Peter and John left the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. So that means at the hour of prayer, that means there was a consistent gathering for prayer. There was an hour, there was a time set. We had, in order for us to position ourselves for miracles, signs and wonders to happen like the way they're supposed to, we have to position ourselves in prayer and with prayer. Not only just an individual prayer, but also corporate prayer. The corporate prayer, the greatest greatest gathering of prayer that we can have is the corporate prayer. The corporate body can really produce a great manifestation of God's presence when we all come with one accord in one place. Amen. And we're praying for the same thing. We're standing, believing the same thing. Amen. And so as we're standing together on one accord, that we create an opportunity for God to really move and perform his word. So, amen. So as we can stand our ground, this is the time that we must adhere to instruction, adhere to his leading and drawing. As he's drawing us closer, this is the time that we enter in prayer. Amen. As we come together on one accord. And this is why, too, we have to look at confusion. At this time, because there's great opportunity, we're going to see also great confusion in one hand, because the enemy will try to use confusion to divide us. See, when there's an opportunity to gather, Christ Jesus said, he said like this, if you are not gathering, you're scattering. So if we're looking at either gathering or scattering, that means we will have a choice to either come together or a choice to tear each other apart. And so the question is, which side of the boat are you going to be on? The opportunity to come together and forgive and let go, or the opportunity to attack and cut through? See, we're always going to be faced with the choice. The choice of the matter, the thing is, which side do we choose? See, it's going to take unity in order to see the measure of what God want to do through prayer. You know, in the body, we need unity. It is in the unity with God command and blessing. So when we don't have unity, God's hand is hindered. He's blocked. He can do everything but fail. But when we talk about God will not flow and operate, because God is not the God of confusion. So he's not going to move in the midst of confusion. We need to have unity. And when we have the unity in operation, this is where we begin to see the workings, the mighty workings of God take place and go forth. Amen. So I encourage you, amen. So this time, so be careful, watch your souls. What the apostle like to remind us, watching our souls. Amen. Because if we don't watch our soul, we can get caught up by our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and the enemy can begin to play on us, use us as a pawn to bring about confusion in the body. Okay, think about it. Inside of a church, the enemy will look for the weakest link. He'll look for that one who don't spend time in prayer, who's not consistent in prayer. Matter of fact, he looks for the one that doesn't know God's voice too well. Well, figure if he speaks, he may speak some truth to get you to think that's him, that's God. But no, the enemy will deceive you and he'll give you a partial truth and get it in order for him to get you to use you, to get you to trust. Amen. So as you begin to trust the Lord, as the enemy begins to try to deceive you, now we find ourselves in a situation to where now God he can't really use you the way he wants to. Why? Because you have a partial covenant going on with the enemy. See, he's beginning to use you according to the enemy beginning to use you according to what his plan and purpose of what he's trying to do. He will use one person who may not spend as much time in prayer and who is vulnerable, who's weak, who may not understand his voice. He used that one person to begin to be the one that plants seed throughout the body. And before you know it was confusion come along, and even the very elect can begin to get deceived if they're not on their P's and Q's. Amen. So this is why we have to have unity in the church, saying the same thing, believing the same thing, doing the same thing. We have to stay on one accord. Because if we all, see, we don't have to have a weak link. There's no such thing that says we have to have a weak link. No one has to be a weak link. But if we do our part in the presence of God, we will keep the unity strong. This is where the church has been falling because some people are up, some people are down, some are half to the ground. I mean, so we have a partial prayer life, some have a whole prayer life, some are thinking about a prayer life, some ain't start to a prayer life. So when we have these situations like this, now we create avenues, streams of avenues for the enemy to come in. A house that does not pray is a house that's falling. And so when we do not allow prayer, when we do not embrace prayer, we embrace confusion. We embrace chaos. When there's no prayer, there's going to be chaos. Amen. Because there's no one interceding on behalf of the church, the local body, or the body of Christ at large. That's why we need more people praying. Amen. They want to do it. Got people, a lot of people saying a bunch of stuff, but we not do have enough people praying. Amen. This is why the time and hours come that we must make a decision and line up, come into divine alignment with God's word and begin to do. So this is the time of prayer. So as Peter and John begin to walk, amen, they begin to go to prayer. They began to, they came to a situation. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. Some people are in conditions right now. They've been in conditions for a long time. Amen. They've just been stuck there. Matter of fact, and the thing is, some things are not going to move until we pray. And God is waiting on prayer. God is waiting on us to come to a place of unity and prayer in order for some things to be moved. There's some things fasting can't do by itself. There's some things just praying can't do by itself. There's some things by prayer and fasting that we can see God's hand move on our behalf. So glory to God. So here it is, the situation. He is laying from his mother's womb, and nothing up to that point changed his condition. There's some things that people could try this way, that way, every which way, and some things will not change because of the condition. Amen. Because the condition has not changed, or the right things has not been done yet to release. Amen. Was needed for the change to happen. And we go further. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This is a consistent routine for him to be there, be put there every day. Amen. See, we have a lot of habits, but with those habits that we have, are those habits good ones or bad ones? It's going to take us changing our habits and truly giving ourselves to God in a totally different way than we used to, because this is the time that's coming now is that we have to deny ourselves. If we really want to see the presence of God, we really want to experience God, it's going to take us denying ourselves from the very low. So in other words, the life that you used to live in, the life, the thing that you call normal life, life as you know it must change. Life as we know it must change. We must make a conscious decision, say, you know what, enough is enough. I've seen my life the way it is, and it's not enough. Something is missing. In order for a change to happen, we have to get tired of where things are. We have to get tired of the same old, the faking it till we making it, the predictable moves, predictable song, you know, and when things begin to get predictable, you lose interest, it gets boring, and not only that, but God ain't in it, because it's like, okay, y'all become religious in this movement. So now we find ourselves in the position of being religious and not real. Glory to God. If anyone have any questions or comments or concerns, amen, at this time, amen, you can call in the number 347-945-5416, amen, 347-945-5416, press 1 to speak, amen, if you have a prayer request at this time. And then he goes on, and to ask alms of them and that entered into the temple. So he was in a position of begging. Amen. See, unfortunately, when we don't have the proper prayer life, when we don't have the proper flow of prayer, we become desperate and begin to beg God instead of making a prayer. Instead of praying, we begin to beg. You know, we've lost touch with God, with that connection with God, because now we're begging God out of desperation because we need something to happen, versus a consistent flow of prayer to where it's like breathing. See, God don't, we ought not, we ought not be praying to God out of desperation. We should not be praying to God, oh, Lord, I need you to do this. Everything's about you. You done tried everything, and now you're trying Christ. And then why are we trying God after we done tried everything else, after you done made a plumb mess? Now we go to God expecting God to work things out on our behalf. But when we could have gone to God first, see, now we're making God priority. We're saying, truly, I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking you are the answer to any situation in my life. We're putting God in the place where he needs to be. Amen. We find ourselves seeking the Lord with all our heart and leaning not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledging him as he directs our path. This is the time in place right now that we have to begin to embrace his presence like never before. This is a time that we have to make a conscious decision. So, you know, God is your way or is no way at all. Amen. This is the time we're going to see the effectiveness of prayer when we choose in our heart to follow him. Amen. So as we begin to see God's face, we begin to see some things happen. Now, to understand this, the warfare is going to kick up. When you really begin to seriously pray, you got to know that the enemy is not going to sit right there and let things happen. Oh, okay, they're praying now. Okay, well, let's let them go ahead and do their thing. Let's move out of the way. That's not going to happen. First thing, he can't stop God. You remember, he already know he can't stop God. But he can cause you to alter. He can cause you to change. He can cause you to back off. He can cause you to back down. See, this is why when we stop praying for real, that's why the person gets worse or the situation gets worse. Oh, my God, we said since we were praying, Dominique's just acting crazy. He's just doing stuff even worse. Good. That means there's been a response. There's been a spiritual response from the kingdom of darkness to your prayer. Whatever was prayed, that lets us know that it was effective because things started happening. Because since you prayed, now all of a sudden the enemy had to turn up the heat because he see he's losing the battle. Well, actually, to be honest, the truth hit him. He already lost. The thing is, he's going to try and cause you to forfeit the victory. So he's going to turn up the heat. And that's the time that we ought to be, for instance, someone have a spouse. They're praying for their spouse. They get delivered, healed, set free, all good stuff going on. Okay, so you begin to give someone who could pray or get a prayer through or some people that believes in prayer. And you're praying, and all of a sudden, that person starts acting crazy. They start doing stuff they never did before. That's not the time to quit praying. That's not the time to back off and back down. That's the time you need to go in. Go in deeper. Go in more. Matter of fact, you're going to need to schedule probably another day or two of prayer just to make sure, because obviously the demonic forces, whatever is going on that the enemy has his hand in, the enemy realizes I'm losing it. I've already lost, but I got to try and get to you. See, if he can try and get to you, he can get to you to start saying, oh, I better stop praying. Oh, this is not working. Oh, I can't. I was better before. We started praying. Everything did worse. That's the time you keep on praying. Don't back down. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. This is what he wants you to do. He wants to intimidate you. He's trying to punk you, amen. He's trying to get you to cause you to back down. This is not the time to turn down or back up. Like the song say, I ain't turning nothing down with my collar. That's all I'm turning down. I ain't turning down nothing. I'm going in. Matter of fact, you want to fight? Come fight me. You know, so this is the time you man up, woman up. Get in there. Don't you back down. This is what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to go soft and say, oh, I better stop praying. That's what he wants you to do. Don't you dare give in. Glory to God. We're moving on. Amen. Okay, he says, verse 4, in Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." See, Peter recognized the Spirit, recognized what was going on. He saw that this is obviously a spiritual situation. This is something that prayer can change. And he realized that and the thing is about it, we have the antidote to sin and death. We have the antidote of Jesus. We have his very blood. We have his presence. We have the answer to the problem. It's up to us to line up with God and be the answer and not be a problem. It's up to us to release what God has placed on the inside of us. Amen. As he goes on, okay, he says, "Fasten his eyes upon me," upon him and John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of the Lord. See, the thing is, if there's no expectation, there will not be a manifestation. We have to understand, if there is no expectation, there will not be any manifestation on both sides. Not just the person receiving, but also the person giving. If you are not going to expect God to move, then don't pray. Please don't. If you are not going to believe God for real to move on your behalf, then don't pray. You might as well move on the way. If you're going to come doubting, if you're doubting your prayer before you even say the first word, then don't pray. See, we have to turn up. There's been times in the gospel to where even Smith Williams were. I remember he said in the book that how he didn't need a lot of people's faith. He believed God himself. So even if you believe or not, he believed in that much to where he didn't look at you, whether you believe or not. He believed. He knew God will answer, and God delivered every single time. So the thing is, in order to get to that place, we have to understand, don't let anyone, anything, nothing cause you to waver in your faith. Have faith in God. When Jesus talked about the fig tree, the first thing he said, have faith in God. See, we have to understand, if we don't believe in our God, how do we expect other people to believe? We must first be the ones first partakers of their belief. Glory to God. All right. So, Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I do believe he probably could have had certain gold or some money, but see, money was not going to be the answer for his problem. Money could not answer this problem here. He needed deliverance. He needed prayer. He needed a breakthrough. He needed the power and very essence of God that's flowing through him. So that wasn't the time for money. He needed the power of God to bring forth healing. Amen. So as he positioned himself, God delivered. And so now he goes on to say, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. See, in order for us to see the manifestation, some things God is just waiting for us to do. See, we've done a lot of praying. Now, after we got so accustomed to getting prayer that we just think, okay, instant presto, that God's supposed to do this. There's some things that there's times that we have to begin to do some things that we normally couldn't do. For instance, if we pray for someone who couldn't bend over, well, after we pray, bend over. See, some things, we're looking for God to do, but there's things that we have to do as well. And so God says, well, as long as you never try and bend over and do what you couldn't do, you can't see what I've already done. You can't see the manifestation. So we waiting on God. Well, God, I'm still waiting. Well, what are you waiting on? Do you know what you're looking for? How do you know that you're healed? Who told you not healed anyway? Whose report are you going to believe? See, the question is with us. A lot of times we're looking for God to do something. God's like, I already give you the power. I gave my son, and he said it is finished. Now the rest, you got to work it out. You got to work at your own soul salvation. You got to go ahead and begin to believe what you've already spoken and even prayed. And that's another thing, too. Sometimes we pray these prayers, and we don't believe it. How can you expect someone to believe the prayer you pray, and you don't believe it? Okay, glory to God. But we gotta believe what we're praying. Because if we are not first partaking of the fruit, if we're not first partaking, then it's not going to be legit. We have to believe as we pray. It's a shame that other people believe your prayer more than you do. I'm just saying. All right. So glory to God. All right. So in leaping, leaping up and stood. See, he stood where he couldn't stand before. Walked where he could not walk before. His leg was inoperable. He couldn't, he was just dragging himself along. He didn't have the strength, the power, the ability to do what he's doing right now. He said he walked, he entered with them into the temple. See, then he was even willing, he had enough sense that after these men just touched his life and brought him healing, he went inside the temple along with them for prayer, Father, do prayer. He didn't just go off on his own and just say, oh, I'm healed, this is it. But he also walked along with them. See, we have to be willing to go into prayer. Amen. And so he went into prayer. He went into the temple, And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. See, think about this. This should be everyday life for us. Why is it a every now and then thing that a miracle or sign of wonder happen? The Bible says that Jesus said, go into all the world preaching the gospel. And the Lord, and then the scripture goes on to say, the Lord working with them, confirming the signs and wonders that follow. This lets us know there's not enough preaching going on, not just in the pulpit, but in the streets, in the nursing homes, hospitals. See, they went and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. See, we want Jesus to work it out for us, but God said, I'm working with you, I'm helping you, but you got to do something in order for you to see something happen. I'm willing to do, but you're not doing. We're not doing. We're very comfortable in this city. You know, very comfortable in the church, very comfortable in the life. We don't want to exercise our faith, but Jesus, he's saying, you can see greater miracles manifestation if you just do something. If you just begin to pray, begin to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Begin to speak to the dead and watch them rise. He said, if there's sickening among you, speak, heal, lay your hands, heal. And you know, cast out devils, Lord have mercy. Just speak the word. See, we can't see nothing if we ain't doing nothing. And so we got the faith. We believe it. We hear the word. We get into the word, but we're not executing. Our execution has become poor because we're not executing the scriptures pertaining to going forth, preaching the gospel everywhere. And the Lord working with them, confirming his word by signs. So if there's no confirmation, that's because there is no word. There's not enough word going forth to confirm nothing. So we have to do our part so God can do his. Okay, let's go into Acts chapter 16. Let's bounce on over there. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Now we have a different situation here where we see... It came to pass verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Once again, going to prayer. See, great things happen when we go to prayer. Amen. See, we got to, you know, we can't just go by what we know anymore. We need to go, but you know, we need to go just in the power and the spirit of prayer. Amen. As we go forth to prayer. Amen. As we go to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. Okay, I got that, Lord. I got that. Okay. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Amen. See, we have to remember when it comes to divination, the practice of using signs, such as arrangement of T's, their cards, and let's see, special powers to predict. You know, these are where you see the prophetic of God in action, where God causes to foretell things, or even bring forth a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And okay, there's the other side of this thing, to where it's on the demonic side. And so what happens is the enemy will use corrupted seed or corrupted people who are going illegally, trying to pull things out of the spiritual realm. And a lot of times it leads to deception. Is tainted, you know, because the way it happens, not going through God, we try to find a back door instead of going from God. So that's what makes it illegal. So, you know, here it is, divination. We talk about the, you know, people who use witchcraft, and the difference to this, witchcraft is not just me sprinkling the dust by your door and having a voodoo doll. It can be manipulation, control, and some different things that we do, trying to illegally get things that happen supernaturally, but on the wrong side of the realm. So we try to conjure up, you know, we cause things that people to call some things, provoke some things to happen on the opposite side. So when we begin to see these negative operations, it begins to bring in spirits, negative spirits, and all kind of things that happen until we open up a whole other side of this thing that we didn't bargain for. So now we have torment spirits to torment you, and you know, people hear people saying, the spirits tell me. No. See, that lets us know when they say the spirits tell me, that they is not from the right realm. The spirits tell me. Okay, why are we hearing the spirits? It should be the spirit, the Holy Spirit. But see, when it comes to another source beyond the Holy Spirit, now you can talk about spirits, familiar spirits. These familiar spirits to be played with, and allowing the enemy to begin to bring partial information in. And then there's something that might speak true, because they want to give you something to kind of continue and to have you looking forward to. Because if they told you all, reveal all the lies to you, then, you know, after a while you're not going to follow it. But they give you some kind of truth to kind of keep you straying along, to keep you going. Amen. So but it won't be pure. It won't be from a pure place. It's going to come from a corrupted place. Okay. So here it is. The soothsaying is the very act of operating in divination. Is operation of that, when we actually seeing the actual act of foretelling the way the enemy wants you. That's where the enemy begin to. Use them to begin to give predictions and do the cards and all that kind of stuff. So now we're getting the soothsaying. That's we're getting actually putting this in action. So it's an illegal operation of the spirit of God. Spirit of the divine, the spirit of divination, the illegal operation of those foul spirits. We see the where those familiar spirits are being operated in, doing, operating, walking through. Now is on the wrong side. So all this that was happening through this young lady, okay, so with the people, these men, she had masters. Let me get back to the scripture. Amen. He goes on to say that, and so she said, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. See, by doing this technique daily, these people, they basically was controlling her, using her to bring forth gain. They began to use for their own personal gain. And so he goes on to say, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. See, that's true. That's true. See, that wasn't a lie. That was true. Which showed us unto us the way of salvation. All that's true. But the thing was how it was going by doing it was revealing, making an announcement, brought a lot of attention to them, which that was not the way they was trying to operate. See, then that goes to show, let me flip the script on that one. When you have apostles and prophets, people who are saying that for the gospel, bring a lot of attention to themselves, let me deal with that. See, we are not about bringing attention to ourselves. You know, it's going to want people making a big announcement of you and really trying to, you see, it's not bringing attention to God, but bringing attention to you. That's not, then you know You deal with false prophets. You deal with people who are not right with God, who are not from God. There are people who could have started off right, but are on the wrong path now. You got to be careful. When we bring all this attention to ourselves and it's about us and about what we want to do, that's, okay, now we're getting out of bounds. That's not the way God intended to be. So Paul then knew that was not their heart. That's not the heart of an apostle. He's not, but bringing attention to himself is not about what he can do, but it's all about God pointing you back to the kingdom, leading you back to the kingdom. So here it is. She started bringing off the attention to them, making them really agitated. So verse 18, in this did she many days. He was patient. He was patient with us because he knew, okay, he knew what was going on, but then too, with deliverance, there's a timing, okay? Understand this, just because you got me revealed to you what it is you're dealing with, it may not be the time quite yet to deal with that thing. You know, sometimes he don't hit the wait, and sometimes too we wait too long. And who knows? This could have been a situation where he waited a little longer than he should have because he got a little agitated. But sometimes it's a thing of timing. A lot of it's a thing of timing. You got to know when the time is right to go forth to execute. Amen. So he had to wait until the time was finally right. It could have been right a little while before that, but the time was right to where he was comfortable enough to move. Okay, verse 18. So so she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. The thing is, he got a little frustrated. He was a little grieved by this. This thing was really not frustrated. He was grieved. So he went ahead and did what he should have done. I mean, he spoke and said what he did. So he, by speaking, he didn't have to do a whole bunch of stuff, but he was at the point, he was ready, and that spirit was ready too. Another thing is, even if someone has a spirit, the time is not right to deal with that thing until the manifestation comes. When it's in manifestation form, the time is right then to do something with it. At this time, there was a manifestation form because the spirit was talking. Those spirits were talking and speaking through her, making the announcement. So it was manifesting. This is something that she did, that those spirits did through her irregularly. So they began to manifest. So when they began to manifest, that's when he was almost like, it was like he had to wait for the right time and to grab him by the neck and pull him out. Just at the right time, because you would show your head, I got you. And just when he did, that's when he snatched snatched the spirit out of her. Okay, so the timing is so important, even when it comes to deliverance with God. You know, the timing has to be right with certain things happen, the components being right, because if not, it's going to be more of a struggle than it has to be. So then verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rules. Now, it wasn't, let me deal with this here. Let me make some devils mad. See, it wasn't even the fact that she needed to be healed. She was afflicted by the spirits. They didn't care about her. They cared when they lost their money. They saw that their money just got funny. They saw when their money was gone. Listen, when we begin to put money more of a priority than God's healing, his deliverance, setting people free, now we're walking in the same spirit of these masters, master manipulators, master manipulations. See, we have to be careful, even in the church today. Mm-hmm. We've got to be careful with the heart of people as they begin to do or not do what God says. So we begin to find different avenues of using people in their form of sickness or under demonic control and use it for our own personal gain. That's like someone who's in God using someone. Okay, they're becoming a pimp. Then they know, okay, you got the power. You should be the one who have authority, power to bring forth healing in your life. Well, you decide to use them for your own personal gain. okay, you only have to be some director in that area here. We could just talk about just sayings, whatever. Some things that people, the giftings that people have, we find, we looking at it from a standpoint of our personal gain. We, you know, we don't want, okay, let me deal with this. Some leaders don't want to let some people go forth. Some people, some leaders don't want to let people go forth because they're in fear of they're gonna, you know, they're gonna bring. Because of the gift that God is in them, God's going to use them more and bring some great things in life. You know, people are going to, you know, their life about to blow up. You can't hold the people there just because of your own personal gain, because you feel intimidated. Get over yourself. I mean, so we have to make sure that we're lined up with the Word of God and do what's supposed to be done. These gifts are from God to help the people to prosper and go forth and do His will. This was illegal that was happening here because she was under control of spirit divination. But the divining that was going on, we think of those controlling spirits. You know, all these different kinds of spirits in operation, when we're talking about working on the wrong side of the realm, we can't, now we have to, we can't get caught up in our personal gain. Somehow it's going to work out for our good for them to stay in that state. We have to be men and women of God with integrity and get past that and get free from that. Some of us need to go back to the altar and be delivered from that so we can help, really help people be delivered for real. There's no need for me to see you come to church every week bound up. As long as you bring your tithes and offering to the church, we're good. Unless you sit there and suffer. The devil is a liar. It's time to bring forth deliverance, real deliverance. See, real deliverance take time. Then we have to spend some time and really, you know, to deal with some stuff. See, it's very easy to sweep it, you know, to try to massage a demon rather than cast it out. Because, see, you're trying to find approval of people and, you know, all these different things. We have to make sure that our heart is right when it comes down to this. We can't sit there and watch people suffer and you have the antidote. He said, but in his name, this was a cast out devils. So why are we tolerating devils? Why are we tolerating demons? Why are we tolerating people not delivered in the sanctuary? Why? Because we need to be delivered. Because we need to get ourselves together. We need to get delivered from people. We need to get delivered from self. We need to get delivered to where we realize we got to do our part in the kingdom to help the people advance. If we're not doing our part, how can we help the kingdom of God advance and be able to do what we're supposed to be doing? We cannot play. Hallelujah. Play with people's lives, seeing them going through, and yet we had the antidote, but yet we still watch them suffer. Because why? Because something is, because, okay, for instance, someone's struggling in the sanctuary. Maybe they used to be a drug dealer, kingpin in the world, and so they come to Christ. Well, you know about them or whatever. For some reason, you've seen this starting to, their tithes off and getting, going up extremely high from the low day job they used to have. So, but you know within you, the Holy Spirit saying, that they're not on the right path, they're doing some stuff illegal again, you know, but you know this, and yet you still, hey, brother, how you doing, man? God bless you, man. God, you can go right along with it, but you know something is not right. That's crooked now. But then you see, then when they get caught up and you get busted and you go and get put away for years, that's partial blood on your hand too. Because why? Because you knew something was not right. The Holy Spirit said it was illegal, and you failed as a pastor because you did not take time to find out what's going on, investigate for real, and bring that person. I don't care how much money they bring in. You try to plan, you know, because there's a lot more tithes off for coming to the church. That's not God. Oh God, we don't need that kind of foolishness. The people, the church is supposed to be a spiritual hospital, not a brothel, or we just use people to come on in and just do stuff. That's not what God wanted to do. This God, His house should be a house of prayer where people can come healed, get delivered, be set free. Not a place where we're promoting stuff or allowing stuff to go on. That's not right. That's not pimping the people. We're not pimping people off their sickness or disease. That's not the way. That's not God's heart. And that's not His plan. And so we have to make sure we come into alignment and do God's will. God's will is for the people to be healed, set free, and delivered. Yes, it's God's purpose and his plan for us to be healed, but we have a part to play. So if we don't do our part, God necessarily can't do his, or we hinder God's part. But don't think that, God can't get it done, because God will. He will take down one to raise up another. And matter of fact, he will use the same one in your same neighborhood that you've been overlooking, the same Davids you've been overlooking, the same Davids you've been despising for these years. Watch, he will use the same ones up for the changing of the guard, raise them up, and put you down. He will do what he has to do to get his job done. My God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, he will do it. See, we can't sit there and think that God's going to operate and just do what we want to do. No, God's will shall be done. It will be done at all costs. You are, listen here, I know Beyonce told you you're irreplaceable, but she lied. She lied. Sasha Fierce lied to you. You are replaceable. God will replace you. Glory to God. He will replace you. I'm telling you, he will raise someone up just that fast and use them to replace you, to get you out of the way. Amen. So the drew them to the marketplace and to the rules. Because the money got funny, now they're a problem. See, you know, because people don't want to give when you, because some people preach, they want a certain response from the people. And because someone may give more attention to someone else, oh, they got a problem with that. Now they don't even know that preacher. They don't even know that person. They got a problem with them. Why? Because they just made their money look funny. It's not about us, people. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about God's will being done. So I'm moving on. And brought them into the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. How? By bringing forth deliverance, is this trouble in the city? Because people are in this religious mindset. They like things the way they like things. They do things the way they do things. And when you bring true gospel, true word, true deliverance, true deity, it's going to shake things up. And you find out where people really stand. Okay, that person's supposed to be so-and-so, and you start to see the true colors. Why? Because when Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came with the sword. So when Jesus comes forth and brings forth real deliverance, real change, mm-hmm. and real stuff, people have a hard time with that. Now they begin to think that you got they have a problem with you because you are preaching the truth. You are living the truth. Look at, Jesus freak. I'll be a Jesus freak. That's why they call me a Jesus freakazoid if you want. But I'd rather do his will than be on the opposite side of his will. Glory to God. See, when the judgment falls, don't get caught slipping, because judgment first begins in the house of God. God ain't playing. See, we ride this thing called grace. See, people have raped and abused grace. Grace is so broken right now. Why? Because we keep on, you know, we think that just because we have grace, we can just do what we want to do. From the preachers all the way back down to the pulpit. I mean, from the congregation. My God. From the pulpit to the back door. Grace has been raped and abused and even abducted. It's time out now. We have to line up or get lined out. My God. All right, we're coming to a close. Hold on. Don't cast me out right yet. Hold on. Oh, glory. So, they see the trouble in our city. Why? Because of the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather take in a good lie than hear the truth. They want you to soften up, speed it up a little bit for them. And the time is not now. We need truth. And verse 21 says, and teach customs. See, when you start teaching, see, that's why when people start talking with real change, that's when you start teaching the word of God the way and applying the word of God the way it needs to be applied, the change is going to happen. Because it's going to be in such a way that it's going to, see, when true word comes, it will challenge your thinking. True word will challenge your thinking. It will challenge your heart. It will challenge everything about you to make sure to show you exactly where you are according to the word. See, you know, we can get on hype and preach it and, you know, say, hey, hallelujah. See, I ain't got to give you no word. See, because I can just kind of throw a little emotionalism in there and get this up. But we actually get down to solid teaching, or we're going to talk this thing out. We're going to get down in it, and we start talking about when the prophetic start really cutting in and start pulling files from the line. In other words, who's on the line, start pulling. You wonder why certain things are whenever. I mean, I can have something laid out to preach, but it depends on who gets on the line. All of a sudden, God began taking me on these different journeys. You wonder why? Because this was on the line. Prophetically, God began to move. So he knows a little bit of your life right now. He loves your life. He knows where we need to deal with that there. Let's deal with that one there. That person just came on. Let's deal with that. See, it's not me. The Holy Spirit knows exactly who's on and who needs to hear what. And so the bottom line is, it's all gospel truth. So we all need to hear it. And for some of us, it helps us to stay in line. Some of us, it yank us back into line. Some of us, it just break forth deliverance, just set us free. Whatever it does what it do. Amen. All right, so let me move along a little further. So as we see here, these are teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Now, listen to that. He says it's not lawful for them to receive. Okay, let me say, the NLT version says they're teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. So when we look at it, why is it illegal for them to practice it? Because it's right, it's truth. The Word of God said the traditions of men have made the Word of God of none effect. Are we living tradition? Or are we living Word? That is the question. Do we accept truth? Or do we accept doctrines of devils or demons for men? See, it comes down to what are we going to do? Do we have religion, or do we have a relationship? These are true questions that we have to begin to ask ourselves. Because if you have true relationship, it's going to line with the Word of God. You may not even get to read it, but because you have a relationship with God, and because it's out of the right place in God, it's going to line up, or clarity will come forth. But it's going to be out of a pure place. When we have religion, see, religion goes beyond the Bible. Religion can be me brushing teeth every day. I mean, I'm just being legalistic religiously, doing what I do. Now, if something is necessary, okay, it's definitely necessary for you to brush your teeth. Praise God, it's necessary for you to do that, to follow that custom. But then some things aren't. You always, when you put your Bible on the, Okay. Put your Bible on the dashboard of your car every day. Tell me you read it. You just put the Bible on the dashboard. That don't mean they're actually helping. You just put the Bible on the dashboard. Not like you're meditating on it. That's religious. Some people, I've seen this before. I had a real deliverance service. A woman come around and say, open your Bible. Open my Bible. If I ain't got the Word in me, I can open my Bible all day long. That ain't going to help me right now. Why I need you to open up my Bible? Oh, baby, open up the Bible. What that got to do with anything? Spiritually cast out this man. If I don't have the Word in me, me opening my Bible is not going to help me stay in a good place. Oh, my God. It's the foolishness. The foolishness, I mean, really, for real, how can that help me? Just opening my Bible. Did the devil move on you opening up your Bible? But when you start reading and taking in what's inside, now you're getting his attention. All right, okay. So, amen. Just wanted to pass that on. Okay, all right. So, anyway, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded them to be beat, all because cast the spirit of divination out of the young lady, broke that spirit of control. They was pimping her, using her to bring money to her masters. And they, because they snatched that those demons out of her, and she got delivered, now they're getting beat. See, from these religious mindsets, you know, people who want to do things their way. Okay, all right, he goes on. And so now they're in jail, they cast him in jail. And me and stress probably, they cast him into prison, charged him to jail to keep him safe. Received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet as fastened to the stock. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Listen, even though they were bound up, even though they got persecuted, even though they went through an attack, they didn't stop praying, y'all. We have to stop being predictable to the enemy. Let me tell you, when we talk about spiritual warfare. So they went through some warfare right here. This warfare was designed to shut them up and shut them down. Come on, somebody. This is what the enemy desires. This is why spiritual warfare comes to us. It doesn't come to us to make us feel good. Spiritual warfare, it comes to us to throw us off balance, to wear us out, to stop, to hinder us. This is the matter of fact. It is designed to be actually a workout. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, when you go to the gym to work out, you are going there to participate in opposition. My God, thank you, Holy Spirit. We go to a gym to work out to bring opposition against ourselves. Am I right? See, we go there to bring opposition to challenge our body to get stronger. Am I right? So spiritual warfare is opposition. It's challenges. It's from the enemy, and really, and from the God, from the standpoint that God allows us to see it, is coming to make us stronger. The enemy. He will, you know, when it comes to the enemy is designed to come and wear us out and try to do all the negative stuff. His intentions are negative.
Mm-hmm.
But God uses this to bring forth positive. Why? Because he said that we are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, he's made us, he's enabled us to overcome. We're overcomers. He's made us to overcome the opposition. Even though opposition comes our way, he did not design us to fail. He designed us to overcome. And so when we don't back down from our opposition, but we attack our opposition back, we're not laying down just taking up from the devil, but we actually participate in going forth, going in. Now we have the opportunity to use that to build us and make us stronger. And that's why we have to see warfare from the right place. Because if we don't see it in the warfare, if we don't see it from the right place, we will take it the wrong place. So God wants you to understand that warfare is like you going, you spending your money every month to go to a gym to work out. Why? Because you're bringing opposition against your body to challenge you to make you stronger. So this is warfare from God's eyesight, as an eye standpoint. We say yes to God. We put ourselves into the gym, basically the gym of life. To participate or to allow something, you know, we are being attacked daily to gain strength from the warfare that comes along. It causes us to bring opposition against ourselves to make us stronger. Why? Because when opposition comes, you know, you ought to be praying. You ought to be praying before the opposition comes, but even more so when the opposition comes, now you're praying, you're standing, you're believing. See, you're putting those spiritual tools into action that's going to cause you to have godly results. See, this is not the time to give up. See, when opposition comes, it's not the time to quit and lose your weight. No, that's the time. This is what you're living for. Tighten it up. Man it up. Woman it up. Get in there. Pray. Stand and believe God. Begin to speak those things. That's the time you go. You get up. You go beast mode. It's time to go into beast mode now. It's not time to lay down. When people go to work out and they have a big competition come, they're beast up. They get all hyped up. Then they slap each other in the face. Ah, hit me. Just get all crazy. That's not the time for you to just, oh, you know what? I'm not feeling fighting. I don't think I'm going to. That's not the time for that. That's the time you need to go into beast mode. You need to go and take it to the enemy. Stop playing. See, the enemy wants you to take that and just punk off. Punk out. The devil bothered me. Get on my back. That's not the time for that. The time is now for you to line up and man up against the opposition, and you go to war with the enemy. That's the best you got? Now take this. See, that sword, they're about to get saved. See, every time the enemy come at you, you go back at him. Spend more time in prayer, do some more reading, studying, do some more confessions, go witness somebody, save a soul. Don't just sit there and let the enemy have his way. Listen, every time the enemy come at you, you make him pay. Make him pay for every time he come at you. You cut me cross-eyed, I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to send you back living. Every single time. And see, the enemy will begin to respect you. You know, every time they come at you, you always leave it, causing them to leave them limping. So, amen. All right. So, praise God. So, Paul's time in jail to pray. We're almost there. Men to sing songs unto God. So, they didn't let the spirit be broken. See, they could have gone to offense, could have gone to deep depression because all this happened. No. They began to pray. Sing praise unto God. Lift up your spirit. When you begin to lift up over opposition, you change the whole atmosphere. That's what they did. Not only in their prison cell, okay, and the prisoners heard them, so it began to affect the people around them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. The prison was shaken. See, because their relentless praise, because of their relentless heart, it brought change. As a matter of fact, God began to move on their behalf in the benefit of everyone that was in the room. He goes on to say, immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. See, we cannot, if we don't stand for the gospel, how can we see the manifestation of the gospel? We can't see the manifestation of change, some shackles being broken, set me free of the people if we don't preach it, if we don't stand it. We can't see the manifestation. And so they did that, and the people opened the doors, bands were loose, and the keeper of the prison, out of his sleep, seeing the doors were open, drew his sword that he would hurt, kill himself, supposing that the prisoners which had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, to be saved." See how we handle the opposition when we pray and deal with the challenges. It's going to affect those who are around us. It can affect those who are watching us. You see how we handle things. If we're acting like the world is not, if we're not doing things, bring forth the example that Christ wanted to bring, he cannot be exalted by us not doing the right thing. So, in spite of all of that, in spite of everything, they were able to bring forth deliverance, prayers that was prayed. The songs were saying, deliverance came because they refused to be broken. When you are unbreakable, when you've been broken by God, you're now unbreakable to the world. They were unbreakable to the world, couldn't break, after all of that, didn't break their spirit one bit. They still was able to go forth and give God praise to where change came. Prayers that have been much. Prayers that can bring change. This is what we have to do. So we can't, it starts with us. If we don't come into alignment, and if we don't do what we need to do, it's not going to work. If there's anyone who needs to call them, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get into the queue box. Amen. Come forth. Amen. Glory to God. So remember, when we talk about having prayer, prayers that brings change, that make things happen, that means we have to go beyond ourselves, go beyond what we think that we can do. We have to trust God for real and allow God to have his way. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for touching each and every heart tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for even the challenge of your word to cause us to look at ourselves and see ourselves according to your will. Lord, deal with us. Do what you have to do. Thank you for bringing change right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for causing our hearts to be caught on fire. Let us burn for your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for change happening right now as you continue to cause us to go forth, spring forth mightily in Jesus' name. Show yourself strong, Lord, as we go forth through the earth. Thank you that we shall be a witness, a living witness, truly be a testament to your glory. So, Father, thank you, Lord, as we pray. We're in expectation. Thank you for deliverance, a mighty deliverance you will serve through us. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we bless you. Protection every heart right now. Bless them, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Once again, the number is 347-945-5416. So press 1 to get in the queue box. If there's anyone who have any prayer requests, amen, or need prayer, or you want to be saved, need to be saved, dedicate your life to the Lord, amen, feel free to call in. Amen. Amen. So at this time, while we're waiting to see if anyone's going to call in, we'll lead those to salvation who need to be led. If you need to be saved and you the time is right, glory to God, open your hearts, and let's go in. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for doing it my way. I choose to surrender now my life unto you. I want to be healed. I want to be set free and delivered. Thank you for change right now. I believe Jesus died, rose for me, and he sits now at the right hand of God. I thank you, Lord, for allowing him to have my life as I receive his. Thank you for the exchange. Thank you for my deliverance. Thank you that I'm now saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Someone who needs to rededicate your life to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for going astray. Forgive me for not adhering to your word. Lord, I repent. Bring me back into right alignment with you and your word, Jesus. I surrender to you, and I allow you to have your way. Thank you for making me healed, healthy and whole. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I receive now. Amen. Amen. So praise God. We just thank the Lord. If there's anyone right now, just want to make sure. Amen. We can call in right now if you need to, as a request. Amen. The floor is not open for that. Amen. All right. Well, if not, amen, thank God for you all, and we won't be on next week. We'll be on spring break next week, so praise God. We'll see you the week after next. Amen. And so, in the meantime, be encouraged, and just follow me through Facebook, Marcus Apostle Marcus Dupree. It has Marcus Dupree on, not Apostle on Facebook, but look me up, Marcus Dupree, if we are not friends, and let's get connected. Amen. Let's let God do what he has to do in our lives and cause us to achieve and accomplish destiny that he's calling us to fulfill. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful night and a wonderful week. Amen. May God bless you on this week. Yes, we won't have anything on this week here, even the classes we cancel now that on this week here because of spring break. Spending time with the family, we all needed time with them. So, amen. So, we're going to look forward to next week, week after next, actually, to go forth into a fresh week. So, God bless you all. Have a wonderful night, and thank you for calling in. Amen. Ooh.
Mercy.